going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome into the program, our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick, again. And Joe, it has been an intriguing, wild, it was a great, by the way, let's just stop right there. It was a great draft. It was a lot of fun.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Green Bay got, you know, great reviews for their hosting of it. And it just feels like every year, John, this thing just kind of gets bigger and better. And it's just impressive what the NFL has been able to do with this event and the excitement that it drums up. Honestly, John, it feels like people get more excited for the NFL draft because it's the thing that has the longest, like, anticipatory period ahead of it. Like, you don't even get this excited for games that your team plays. So they've made the most out of, you know, that fan appetite for it, for sure.
Well, because, and we'll get into the Falcons in a moment, but because you and I spent so much time talking about Shador, I'm trying to figure out what the Browns are doing. He may actually have a chance to start there, but they now have, It's like a clown car, Joe. They got Deshaun Watson, they got Joe Flacco, they got Kenny Pickett, then they draft two quarterbacks in Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. I don't know, maybe they trade for Kirk Cousins. I have no idea. What's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. But hey, for Shador, if you were looking for a place where you have some path to playing time, for as crazy of a room as it is and as crowded of a room as it is right now, you're totally right. Like, there is every possibility that he could, you know, start games for them this year. In fact, I bet that it's probably more likely than not that he at least gets one start for this team next year. And let's say the worst case scenario for him personally would be that happens at the very end of the year after the Browns have already been eliminated. But hey, that's probably a better opportunity than you would have gotten the way we were thinking about it, John, when we were covering that second and third round and he was sliding and we were thinking maybe the only place he could potentially go is to someone who really doesn't have a plan to play him in the immediate term at all, that has a bona fide starting quarterback. So not ultimately the worst spot for him to land. And funnily enough, it's, you know, with a team that we all kind of thought was going to be targeting him to begin with.
Joe Patrick is our Falcons insider. I said earlier that it's my impression that Jeff Ulbrich, his first impression was, you know, seeing the players live and watching film, that he turned around to somebody and said, okay, this team's way too damn slow. And so his first thing is, we must get faster. And I think in the moves that they've made in the offseason, whether it's Diablo or here in the draft, and not just, you know, Walker and Pierce off the edge, but also in Xavier Watts, also in Billy Bowman, also in some of the undrafted free agents, the whole thing here is speed, speed, and more speed.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, couldn't come a moment too soon. It's really felt like the last few years, which is as long as I've been covering this team. I started in 2022. The defense just has not had, it just, as a unit, it is kind of slow and plodding to an extent. It's not like an indictment on every single player. And of course, you do have star players on that side of the football with Jesse Bates and AJ Terrell and those types. But especially in that front, you just didn't have that real dynamism up front, that athleticism, the mobility for those edges to really be able to run sideline to sideline and track down running backs or receivers on screens and that short yardage stuff. So, and that's the way the NFL is going. You know, they're trying to get spread teams out and, you know, get the ball, you know, have these extended runs that are passes to the flats and things. And it just feels like this Falcons defense is much more better equipped to be able to deal with that sort of attack that offenses will bring against them. And I think that also, John, they're just set up. The other thing, they got fast, but they also just got a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball, whether it's, you know, these edges who are going to be coming after the quarterback and trying to create turnovers in the pocket, or it's these defensive backs who, you know, all of them are kind of prolific in terms of the interceptions they've had in their college careers. Also, with what some of them have been able to do with the ball after they intercept it and taking it back the other way. These are just real playmakers that they've got. And I don't think that it's reasonable to expect this defense to all of a sudden be, you know, a top 10 unit or even a top 15 unit in the NFL, although that's more possible. But I think as long as they're creating, if they're changing the game with these big moments by creating these types of turnovers and sacks and things, that's really what you want, because this is still going to be an offensive-driven football team.
See, I love, one of the things I love about Joey is he answers my questions before I even ask him, because that was where I was going with this. I think if you look at the draft at large, they got down to some decisions about who they might draft at certain spots, and one of them was Billy Bowman, safety slash, I think they'll probably move him to nickel out of Oklahoma, and it was between, okay, we got Billy Bowman and we got Kobe Bryant, not spelled the same way, from Kansas, both of whom we like, both of whom fit our profile, so we'll take Bowman, and then they immediately sign Kobe Bryant, C-O-B-E-E Bryant, from Kansas as an undrafted free agent, because otherwise, if Bowman were off the board, they would have drafted Kobe Bryant. This Kobe Bryant at Kansas, Billy Bowman at Oklahoma, and Xavier Watts at Notre Dame all share one aspect that you just talked about. If you start to say, we got to have an identity. So if we get pressure, you know, if James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker and Leonard Floyd, who you signed, and Arnold Ebiketie, if they can get pressure and force the quarterback to, you know, half second early, get rid of the ball, all of these guys back there, Bates and Bowman and potentially Kobe Bryant, if he makes the team a watch, they're all interception machines. So that becomes mm-hmm. the identity of the team. You don't necessarily have to stop everybody and slam them into the ground. It's about, can this team have, you know, what's the over-under on pick sixes? 3.5? You know, I mean, you want to change the game by taking the ball away.
Yeah, and those things can, those moments, John, they can change games. They can change seasons, honestly. In fact, you know, one of them kind of kept the Falcons season alive that Jesse Bates had a couple of years ago with that pick six that he had against the Saints. I mean, the Falcons were looking down and out of that game. The Saints were driving to score to go up 14 points relatively early in that game, and he has a big, you know, pick six and just changes the whole tenor of the game. And if the Falcons lost that game, their season would have been over at that point. Of course, their season was over a little bit later, but it did give them a boost going down the stretch. They were coming off a bye in that game. And so, yeah, those are huge moments. And, John, you made a good point that I hadn't even kind of put together, which is that, you know, these pieces are almost kind of connected in the edge rushers kind of getting the best potentially out of these defensive backs that you've drafted, because, you know, they want to get that ball out of there in a hurry, get the ball out, you know, force quarterbacks to get the ball out before they're totally comfortable with it. And that can hopefully help some of these secondary players. And it's not just, by the way, you know, in terms of the safeties, at least. I would also throw DeMarco Hellams in that bucket of a guy who really is kind of a nose for the ball playmaker style, even though we think of him as a harder hitter, which he is. He's kind of more of a box safety. We saw, you know, when he was able to play, I don't know if everybody can remember back to when he was playing before his injury, but he was a guy who was all around the ball. He had a couple of interceptions in his first preseason as a rookie, and I think that the Falcons still believe a lot in him. So he's even another one of those guys who you've just got. And it feels also, John, when it talks about these defensive players, this feels like you have a lot more depth in all these positions, whether it's the nickel, whether it's the safeties, the linebacker room. It just feels like you have a lot more options, and you've got guys farther down the pecking order that already have NFL experience and some good production to go with it. Some of them have had injury concerns and whatnot, but it feels like you're just so much better covered in that defensive side of the football this year.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Everybody out there, this is just take 1 second here. Okay, you line up with a three-man front. You know, you have Zach Harrison, you have Kentavious Street, you have Taquan Graham, and then you come out with, you know, Arnold Labuckaghi and Leonard Floyd on the edges. Then you have maybe Divine Diablo and JT Bertrand and the inside linebackers. You know, here's your secondary. You get a shot at this Billy Bowman. And there's, you know, maybe D. Alford and Clark Phillips out there. Xavier Watts, the new stud here, along with DeMarco Helms. They're out there at safety. All right, that sounds pretty good. Although that's the backups.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the right. Listed backups.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good. I'll take that.
You know, because and, you know, that's not the other your thing, starters, that's the backups.
Right, right. And, like, for a guy, I'm thinking of a guy like Troy Anderson, who obviously has had his injury problems. And, you know, I think with what the Falcons have done in this draft, it makes, you know, them be able to use a guy like him a lot more strategically and potentially, you know, perhaps not play as many snaps down to down as he was when he was healthy. But if they can get the best out of the snaps that he does play, then that's going to be helping the team overall. And same with, you know, James Harris Jr., honestly, is going to be a guy who I think is going to be more of a designated pass rusher type. But if you're just getting the best out of him and the best, you know, and he's the best pass rusher you can get in those situations, then that's going to be helping the team. And, you know, it just never hurts to have different profiles of players that you can use and you feel confident going into the game and being able to execute their job. And so, you know, it's a long way for these rookies. You know, we'll see. They've got to learn a lot. They've got to improve. It's always really tough for these guys. There's a lot going on their rookie year, even in the offseason, the combine and everything, getting ready. But certainly these guys have some physical talents, too, that are you just can't coach, and that makes you excited.
Talking, of course, with Joe Patrick, talking about the Falcons here. Not much on the offense. You know, they do draft a swing tackle, Jack Nelson, out of Wisconsin. He's huge. He's 6'7", 325. And hopefully he can be a swing tackle kind of guy that will fit
in. He seems hilarious, too, just based on his little press conference
right,
that he did
exactly.
With media.
They did draft a very highly productive wide receiver from San Jose State that scored tons of touchdowns, made lots of catches, named Nick Nash. So we'll see if Nick Nash can have an impact. But aside from that, really, the offensive story here was more about, you know, the growth of Michael Penix, you know, and how he'll grow, and, of course, about Kirk Cousins. So let's talk a little bit about where we stand after you see all the quarterback moves. You know, people said, well, Sam Howell went to the Vikings. I'm like, dude, it's Sam Howell, okay? You know, it was like, well, but my Joe Flacco thing, by the way, was proven out when they said, Joe Flacco's going to the Browns.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't need to say. They drafted two quarterbacks with Joe Flacco on their team.
Yeah, yeah. How many will emerge? Who knows from that group?
You know, people say, oh, the Browns are out of the quarterback business. Really? They drafted two. So don't tell me they were out. And Sam Howell going to Minnesota doesn't mean anything. And then one of the articles today said, oh, well, Pittsburgh's probably going to go back to Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, the Browns have 19 quarterbacks and Minnesota got Sam Howell. You know, the Falcons are stuck with Kirk Cousins. This has been a disaster for them or that something to that effect, Joe. But I say, and I'm going to contend again, I disagree wholeheartedly, that this is only going to get better for the Atlanta Falcons. Because while everybody seems to think they have it on lock with their quarterbacks, as they go into camp, as they go into the preseason, even into the season, the value of Kirk Cousins continues to rise. Because, Joe, somebody going to get hurt.
Yeah, that has happened, and you know that certainly would help the Falcons if that does happen. I mean, that's you hate to see it for those players, but that would help increase Kirk Cousins' market value. I think there's an interesting thing going on in Pittsburgh, John, as it relates to Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers. And you know, it certainly seems like they're in the market and are going to land one of those quarterbacks. And I think from the Falcons' perspective, I feel like you got to think like if you really just want to move Kirk on, you can actually make it a better deal for Pittsburgh. You can kind of negotiate against whatever Aaron Rodgers would be negotiating, because I would think that Rodgers is still going to command a pretty high price tag for a quarterback, you know, $20 million or something like that. And the Falcons can say, okay, well, if Aaron's demanding $20 million, like Kirk's only going to, we can make Kirk only cost you 15. We can only make Kirk cost, you know, Kirk can only cost you guys $10 million. You know, they can kind of adjust that number as needed to kind of almost negotiate against Aaron Rodgers to get that fit. And I also think that Pittsburgh is kind of leaving this situation open and, you know, leaving the potential out there for either of these quarterbacks for this exact reason, for them to be able to negotiate the price down with these guys, because they can say, you know, listen, we've got options here. We don't have to have you in particular. And so that's going to be an interesting situation that continues to evolve here. And I still think it's probably the most likely landing spot for a guy like Kirk Cousins. And we'll see. We'll see where it goes from here. But you're right. I mean, this is probably the lowest his market value will get, and it will only go up from here, though. There's only potential possibilities for things to improve on the Kirk Cousins market.
Yeah, and again, Kirk Cousins could be – he could be on another team. He could be the backup for a few games. He could be the backup all season. He could, who knows, be the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons again. I don't know. I mean, it's anything is possible here, so I'm mm-hmm. I think we're just kind of on sit-and-wait mode.
Real quick, like, the Falcons are not going to just give him away either.
No, they won't. They will not. They're going to hold on to him, and they're going to hold on to him. The Falcons are still in the position of power. You have to understand, the Falcons mm-hmm. are still, and it's not Kirk Cousins, it's not other teams, it's Arthur Blank. He is still in the position of power because he could just hang on to Kirk Cousins no matter what anybody else. Kirk's got a no trade, he hasn't waived. Doesn't matter. You know, if Kirk wants to play, which he does, that puts mm-hmm. Arthur Blank in a position of power. End of story. All right, right. Let's go to David Onyemata. Because he reworked his deal, he does not have a June 1 designation. All right, that's okay. I don't want to get into the technicalities of all this. You have to wait till June 1st to do anything with him. At this point, I don't know. I mean, he maybe, again, we can't know this. Maybe he fits really well. They do need some veterans on that defense. Maybe nothing happens here. But post June 1, if you want to create money and you haven't moved Kirk Cousins and you want to go back into free agency to some degree, I'm not necessarily sailing Jalen Ramsey, though it's over in L.A. between Ramsey, Miami, between Ramsey and McDaniel. Mm-hmm. Over. And you need some money, that would be the place you go get the money. But if you move on Onyemata, you might get a little bit thin on the interior there too. So
that
becomes a problem.
Yeah, he still has a role to play for this team, and that's why the Falcons have not, you know, found it necessary to cut him, at least at this point. He will make $17 million this year, which I think is a lot more than people think. The Falcons, if they were to cut him post June 1st, they would save about I think it was about $10.5 million or something like that when you factor in all the dead monies. And so that's not nothing. And I think that the Falcons are just holding that out there as a lever that can be pulled if they feel like it needs to be pulled, and that, you know, they can make some other transactions with that money that are going to help the team. And certainly you would think that if they do pull that lever, they will actually need to address and bring some kind of big body defensive tackle in, because I do think that he kind of has a profile as probably a starter for this team right now. I mean, he's got a ton of NFL experience for that reason. So, there's a money in the banana stand. There's money. There's still money that can be unlocked on the Falcons roster if they need to make more moves. There's also more restructures they could potentially do with guys like Jesse Bates and such. So there is still more that they could do. But this is where I give Terry credit for kind of being judicious with the way that he has not just gone out and tried and spent all the money and done all the restructures and really turned up the risk in terms of the contracts on this roster. And instead, he took some swings with the draft capital, and I think that that's a much more palatable way to do it, and just a responsible way to do it going forward. And I think that he's kind of managed – now that we've gotten through the draft and seen what's happened, I think that you can't do anything but say that Terry Fontenot has really managed this offseason as well as possible, considering the hurdles that were in the way for the Falcons organization.
All right, 10 seconds. Falcons now, based on offseason, favorites in the NFC South going into the year, yes or no?
I mean, I say yes. I don't know if Vegas will think that, but that's based on my confidence in Michael Penix. And I think that the national media is not going to really understand that quite to the extent that we understand it in Atlanta.
Thank you, Joe. As always, you have been masterful during this draft period. You've done a really great job. I do really appreciate you. Give you a lot of credit. You have, you know, across all the platforms here, done a really, really, truly great job. Thanks.
Well, thanks, John. I always appreciate being on with you. Thanks for having me on.